This Sunday's text paints the startling pictures of the horrific, the demonic nature of sin. The church's repeated celebration of the Holy Communion counters that tragic reality in a continued showing forth of the death of Jesus until he comes. It is a dramatic declaration of how much God has done for you. Not live by bread alone. Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
After Pentecost. Our first reading today is from Isaiah, 65th chapter, beginning with the first verse. This is a rebellious nation. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am. Here I am," to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious, obstinate people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord, because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord. As the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it, so I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. Let us read Psalm 22, beginning with the 19th verse, responsibly. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
The Lord does not despise nor reward the poor.
Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek you, O Lord, give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Our second reading is from Galatians, chapter 3. Beginning with verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian, our custodian, until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian or custodian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Sort of introduce he or she herself. I've grown up in Dane County, grew up on the north side of Lake Eganza, graduated from Stoughton High School. I have friends here and family. Two of my daughters and their children come here, so all five of my grandchildren come to Christ Lutheran and love it here. I even have my English teacher. How perfect is that? So, I feel good. I hope you feel good. Pentecost, the second Sunday of Pentecost. And that's when the Counselor, the Holy Spirit that Paula told us about last week, comes to sort of prod us and nudge us to get moving, to act as Jesus' hands and feet and voice. And I've often wondered if that's maybe why attendance is a little lower in the summer, because we don't want to be nudged. So when I looked at the lesson today, I had to look at what came before it and what comes after it. And the lesson comes out of Luke chapter 8, and it has a series of parables that tell the story of Jesus caring for his people and how we are to sow the seeds abundantly. Not measure what's before us or who's before us, but measure... Are you having a hard time hearing me? Okay. But just throw the seeds abundantly. Let our light shine. So Jesus and his disciples are heading out of Galilee over to the Gerasenes, and on the way, Jesus falls asleep, the storm comes up, and he has to calm the storm, and that kind of precedes today's lesson. So they're traveling, and they come across the Sea of Galilee, and they arrive at a tombstone, a graveyard. And I don't know about you, but when I travel, that's not my first destination. I would have picked somewhere a little more green. They arrived at the graveyard, which is Gentile territory. Graveyards are considered unclean. Jewish people don't want to go there because they don't want to be declared unclean. There are also pigs there, a couple thousand pigs. They are considered unclean. So here we have two opposites. We have unclean and clean Jesus. We have death and life, Jesus, total opposites. So they're greeted by a man who's, we would describe as crazy, demonic, seized by evil, a whole mob of evil. And the evil recognized Jesus immediately and begged him not to hurt him. So Jesus and evil are opposites, and the demons themselves have no physical characteristics, but here they were in the pigs. And the townspeople, whoops, I think I missed the page. Here they were in the pigs, and Jesus drove the evil out of the pigs, down the ravine, into the sea, and they drowned. Jesus' reaction to the man he saw in front of him was very different than the evil he saw in front of him. He saw the person. He saw the man who was hurt. He saw the man who had no control over his own life whatsoever, a man who had no hope of a family, a job, and leading a productive life. And each time that we go out, or each time that Jesus goes out and encounters people, it becomes an opportunity for Jesus to offer a story, or us to offer a helping hand, a little lesson in humanity, a little nudge in civility and kindness. So the town that Jesus was near was called Gerza, and that's where the Gerizim name comes from. It was actually about 6 miles from this tombstone. And that's kind of significant in that all of these events did not happen in a 20-minute sitcom like we see on TV. This took a while, because when the townspeople came back, as was read in the scripture, this man was fully clothed and sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, those people in those days didn't have a lot of clothes. They didn't exactly pack luggage to go across the sea. So this took a while. So Jesus was able to separate the evil from the man, and he took care of the man. In many third world countries, they're much more aware of evil and how it works than we are. We kind of brush it aside. But I had a friend from Ghana, and Ghana's on the southwest coast of Africa. It's along the Gold Coast, actually. His name was Professor John Finn. He was a professor at the University of Accra. He and his wife, Theodora, were in Madison. John was studying African history, which is kind of funny, I think. He'd written several books on it, but RUW here in Madison had more books on African history than anywhere else in the world. So he was here on sabbatical and studying. And he told me this story. Because John was an educated man, when Ghana was going through some political upheavals, he was arrested and thrown into prison. One night, under the cover of darkness, no moon, no street lights, gravel roads, they were moving him from one place to another. He had no idea where he was. All of a sudden, he shouted, screamed, the kind of a shout that you would do if your two-year-old were running into the street and a semi were coming down the road. I'm not going to shout that loud, but I could. And John shouted, stop. And the truck came to a halt. There were two men in the front, John and another guard in the back. They got out. They looked. Right before them was a ravine, just like with the pigs. If they would have gone a few more feet, they would have been over the ravine and dead. The guards immediately said, who's your God? And John could tell them, and they became believers. So the people of Gerza, or Gerizines, became aware of the events by the swine herders, call them shepherds, who were tending the pigs, went back to town and told them what had happened. I'm sure they weren't real happy to go back to town because they had no pigs. They had no food for the people. They had no job. The pigs were gone. Well, you know how word travels around small towns. And word got around, and eventually the people got together and decided, we don't want this man Jesus here anymore. We saw what he did to that man. He made him whole. He made him real. And we don't know what he's going to do to us. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the unknown. I'm afraid of change. And we don't want him here anymore. So they asked him to leave. The miracle of the demons driven out of the man is their story. And we all have a story. But their story is the key, just as your story is the key. And what they witnessed, they went back and used their own words, just as you will use your own words. Now, why they didn't want him is obvious, like I said. Loss of income, loss of food, fear of the unknown, fear of change. Now, a lot of us can add something onto our schedules, but we don't like to really change, because change means giving something up and adding something new. And most of us don't want to change anything. Adding on is easier than changing. So, if Jesus changed your life and mine, which he has, what has that meant? What will our story be? How has Jesus' love and promises sustained us all these years? How has faith in God kept you focused on what's important? The townspeople asked him to leave, and he did. It just sounds so simple. Get out of here. And he went. But the young man with him wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no. You go back to town, and you tell the people what has happened to you. And he did. And so what's the next chapter in our story? Well, you can turn to Luke chapter 8, or you can do what, the young man did. And that was go back to town and tell the story. So the next chapter starts when you walk out that door. It's your story, it's Jesus' story, it's your hands, it's your voice, being Jesus to the community. Do we accept what's in front of us, or do we toss it out and dismiss it? Do we fix our eyes on Jesus and his love? Do we fix our eyes on those afflicted and do what we can, however little it might be? It might be 2 years, it might be a kind word. But it's up to you, and Stoney awaits.
Thank you.
Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray for the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Amen. Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways, encourage one another. Agree with another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Absolutely.
May be seated for the offering. Creator. You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. With these gifts, we bless you for your tender nurture and care. Help us to delight in your will and walk in your ways. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For all servants of the gospel, for the church throughout the world, and for all who sing the praise and glory of God, that through the gift of faith, all declare the wonderful name of Christ, let us pray. For the well-being of creation, for mountains and lakes, for fields and forests, and for plants and animals, that God lift up good stewards to care for the entire earth. Let us pray. For the nations and their rulers, for aid workers, and for people in war-torn areas, that God raise up leaders and advocates to work for the equality of all. Let us pray. For all who cry out in need, the hungry and the poor, the downtrodden and the outcast, the grieving and the sick, that all know that God is near and hears their cries. Let us pray. For teachers preparing for the upcoming school year, for those who are traveling and absent from worship, and for those who visit our congregation, that God's love lead them in their daily vocations. Let us pray. For all baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, including those who have died, confident that we belong to you in life and death, let us pray. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated for a few announcements.
Just a few reminders that Ladies Night Out is going to be this Thursday from 5:30 to 9. If you don't have tickets, you can buy them either here from us or you can buy them at the pharmacy. And we have a congregational meeting that's set for June 30th following the 9 a.m. worship. And that's going to be for elections for the council positions. So please plan to attend. And we have a congregational outing that's happening on July 18th. If you're interested, we would need you to sign up by the 1st of July. It's going to American Players Theater. All right, thank you.
Please stand for the blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Amen.